What's happening? What's going on, Sharkland? This is Eric from the Shark School with another episode of Let's Talk Shark. It seems that last week's podcast created a stir, and I was asked to do another show on that topic. I tried to give you some more reasons why we are still not even close to turn the rudder around when it comes to shark fishing and our depletion, and of course, the destruction of the marine realm. We already spoke about the draconic measurements needed to be put in place to prevent the currently non-preventable outcome. We lack the control over the shark fishing industries, it's as plain as that. And as long as more than 130 nations that are in the shark fishing business do not bow to a worldwide action plan, each day this slaughter is continued, brings us one day closer to the final outcome, the complete destruction of the marine realm. Most people, even fishery experts, do not see the dwindling numbers of sharks as being the biggest ecological time bomb in the near future. They don't seem to understand how the decimation of a top predator will influence the food web or chain from top down, or they may understand, but that would be more disturbing, they're paid by the fishing industries to soften the current status. I said it before many times, sharks are the most abundant top predators on our planet, over 50 kilograms or over 100 pounds. Nature needs this number of sharks to make the marine ecosystem functionable. So when we come and start just to take away without considering what will happen, we're gonna lose. This top-down effect, where you move the top or decimate it to the point where it can't fulfill its function anymore, creates a cascading effect that eventually leads to the complete destruction of the food chain. And this also means it affects plankton production. Plankton, as we know, algae, create 60 to 80% or whatever number fits best, whatever book you look at, create 60 to 80% of our oxygen. So how can we even remotely start to affect this? And it will not be remotely anymore in a few years when these food chains are completely destroyed. Last time I spoke about a few issues. One problem is a national issue, of course. Too many countries, again, more than 130 fish for sharks, having their own rules. Granted, some species are protected. And I do not talk about those. I talk about the ones that are still in larger numbers. Don't get me wrong, I'm not that naive to think that just because the species is protected, it will be safe from the fishing industry. Hell no, it just doesn't happen. But we have to focus right now on those shark species that are still in larger numbers. Larger numbers means that these populations are still likely able to control an ecosystem. But that's the lucrative fishing right there. We must find a way to kill this very market, otherwise nations keep taking and taking until they run out of sharks. And here we have a problem. No nation can tell the other nation what to do. We see this in politics every day. We have over 500 shark species, where about 100 are already at their limit. So how can we make sure that these 100 species get the protection they need? As I mentioned last week, we need a controlling system that has a worldwide reach, including, of course, the punishment. And controlling is one thing, punishing a failing nation is another. That's the biggest problem. No country wants to be told what to do. But when it comes to sharks, there is no way around. We have to start a worldwide controlling system, otherwise we're doomed. Well, beside that, there's also the issue of species identification. There are some ways to identify sharks from only the fins or carcasses, that's good news. But this then needs controllers who do the tests. And of course, we all know that offloading prior to getting into a harbor is common practice. So just because there would be enough controllers in each harbor doesn't mean we catch them all. But still, once you figure out that they're caught in endangered species or any one that is somehow controlled, it's too late. The animal is dead. So it has to happen, it has to start before the animal is caught, or at least before it's brought on board. First of all, there's no selective fishing when you put out long lines. And long lines is the main culprit here in this case. Whatever shark is there may get hooked. So right there you have the first problem. If we can't prohibit long lining, we have to at least reduce the size of these lines. Currently, they're about 80 to 100 kilometers long. And also reduce the soaking time to 2 or 3 hours. Right now, it is 8 to 10 hours. That way, most sharks that got hooked are still alive and could be removed from the hook should it be a species that is on the list. Don't get me wrong. In my opinion, all species should get on the list. But outlawing shark fishing is not a likely scenario, so it is better to get some restriction in than nothing at all, since no fishing nation would go for that. It's big business, really big business. But putting in restrictions would require observers, as already mentioned last week, and that is another logistic nightmare and also a financial issue of very large proportions. So you see, problems left and right. Maybe we should just hope that the model currently undertaken in the Pacific, where a week ago the first Pacific Ministerial Shark Symposium in Samoa was launched when ministers were building momentum on the leadership to conserve sharks and rays, is the way to go. Deputy Prime Minister and Minister of Natural Resources of Environment of Samoa, Fiame Naomi Mataafa, said, and I quote, "We have led the world to see that the future of our countries depends on proper management of marine ecosystems, creating and capitalizing on the momentum these realizations have created to ensure shark populations are finally getting the proper management they so need." All I can say to that is bravo. In 2015, the world's first regional shark sanctuary was established between the federal states of Micronesia, Palau and the Republic of Marshall Islands. I think this is a way to go. What it means is get together, create together, and monitor together. What starts to happen in parts of the Pacific needs to happen in the Atlantic as well, and especially in the Caribbean. Of course, we can always attack the market as such. So if we just say, you know, prohibit finning, imports of fins, import shark carcasses, but prohibiting the import of shark meat and fins requires an efficient controlling system, again for each port, small and large. And of course, we still have to increase public awareness. What will happen in the near future with our oceans should the shark fishing not be more limited and be properly controlled? But I feel that people are already too fed up, saturated with all the greenhouse effect speaks, water pollution, famine, wars, and so on. Another issue just won't sink in anymore. It is a sad truth that we can only attack so many issues before the general public stops listening and caring. So what we have to do is actually start tackling the youngest generations. So there we have to build momentum. And that means that all these issues, and I'm not talking about the overfishing of sharks for a moment, have to be introduced as early as possible in school systems. That, of course, needs teachers who understand how to present such a complex topic, have the passion, and many more attributes to make it successful. But I really do not really see another way around. The current generation that rules seems not really to care. But if all of a sudden a younger generation comes that actually could come, why did you allow this or that? Then we may have a chance. So if we can go back into the school system and start, let's say, in first grade with simple act-react scenarios, I think that might really be the only way that we can really successfully tackle this issue of overfishing. Food for thought. Okay, that's it for today. Tune in again for another show of Let's Talk Shark. Have a great day. And if you meet a shark out there, have fun, enjoy the moment, and remember, it is a privilege to be among them.